Hey everybody, we're back again. I'm Anthony.
I'm Noah.
I'm Zach.
I'm Sadie.
I'm Dane.
I'm Tucker.
And this
Grandma.
Is Schultz Unfiltered. Oh, good job, Grandma. Nice work.
I didn't want to miss my opportunity.
Well, we would have clearly let you know if you would have missed an opportunity, but never to be outshined. Yeah. So, hey, everybody, Schultz Unfiltered with you again. Make sure here on YouTube and Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Play, all the things. Make sure to give us a like and a follow on there if you're liking what we're doing so far. But today, we get to have the opportunity, as we already talked about, Grandma, Mary DeRay is with us. Yes, hit that notification button. That's right.
Don't know what that is.
But it's fun that things do line up, because we only do this about twice a month, and you don't live or near us anymore, and see you every few months, and so it's kind of lined up. You're together with us.
Yeah.
So it's
happy
good
to be here.
Yeah. What do you guys think? You happy to have Grandma here with us?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wish we could have round steak.
Yeah.
I love Mr. Frank.
Oh, and who's Mr. Frank, Tucker?
It's Grandma's dog.
Yes. What kind of dog does Grandma have? Can you describe her? Describe the dog.
It's a Shih Tzu.
Yes.
Be careful when you say that.
Yes. Exactly.
And when he gets his toys, he does not get it back. He guards it like he's like a guardian.
Can you describe what he looks like though?
He has white and brown.
If you were to compare Frank to another animal, what animal would you think he looks like the most?
A red fox.
A red fox.
Oh, no. A red panda.
A red panda. Yes.
Not a giant rat.
Yes, it could be one or the other.
But with a ponytail on top.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, a giant rat with a ponytail.
Well, if you guys have been listening, we've definitely brought up Grandma and traditions a lot, so we thought it'd be good for you guys to meet her and see her as we talk about not only the food that's made and the memories that are shared at holidays, whatnot, but everything else. And so, believe it or not, you've been on this earth almost 70 years now.
Yeah, 70. Well, officially, January 6th.
And we still go shopping. We get mistaken for being married and not
so sorry
not parent
for
and child. Yes. Even when I was like 15, it's the same thing. And now when we go to the store.
That's a curse. I don't know what to say. Yeah. I apologize for that all these years.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure you do. But take us to, I mean, the kids kind of heard it a little bit, but I think, you know, you were born in California, San Francisco.
Yeah.
And how long were you there for?
Well, my folks left there when I was 6 months old and went back to Montana.
And where in Montana?
Missoula.
Missoula, Montana.
All three of my brothers were born in Missoula. They left for a short time. My dad decided to try to sell books to Scott Forsman Book Company. And so they went to California to try that out, and they did not like California. So they drove back to Montana. We looked like, I'm sure, the grapes of wrath, packed up with four kids and... And no air conditioning.
So they don't know what that means. But the description is whatever the family station wagon is and every piece of furniture strapped on the top of it going back to Montana.
Yeah, and no air conditioning driving through the desert.
With no air conditioning.
No air conditioning.
And you guys complain about being too close in a car right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Six people in a small Mazda. Yeah. What do you want this to do with that?
Yeah. I'm telling you.
It's shocking, Zach. And Dane on the side, and I'm squirts like a panda.
That's you what? Have an entire car seat. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You've got
yes.
the best
did they,
seat.
Did they even have car seats when you were driving back?
No. We didn't have seat belts. So there were, in fact, at one point, my parents had a little Volkswagen Bug, and we all, six of us, would get into that car. It'd be my parents in the front, my two older brothers in the middle, and my younger brother Guy and I in the little cubicle in the back.
Like the engine compartment or the trunk?
Well, it was about that big, and the two of us would fit in there, which was a really bad idea because he and I fought more than anybody else. So my mom would try to turn around in the back seat and yell at us and try to get us to behave. And my dad said she spent most of her car trips traveling backwards, turned around trying to keep us from hurting each other and killing each other. So we did. So we had the Volkswagen, but we had a station wagon also, and it was pretty much the same thing, where Guy and I always got stuck in the back. Mick and Mark would be in the middle, and Mom and Dad in the front. Mark always pretended to get car sick, so he got to sit in the front. So then that meant the other three of us fought amongst each other who was going to sit in the middle. And it ended up usually all three of us in the middle, me in the middle of my two brothers, and who always had their legs rubbing on mine with scratchy, hairy legs, which made me mad. So we'd fight about that. And then, I don't know, it was a mess, but yeah. That's how we traveled.
Well, we don't have any arguments about where everybody sits in our car, do we?
We have had the same spots since, like, we were born.
Yeah, because that way we don't have to argue about it. We have spots. Now, you may not like it, but we all have our assigned spots.
This is the real argument. This and this. Sadie, Jane, Zach, Schultz are fighting about the front every single day.
Yes, and how do we do that? Now, everybody has a different day of the week where they sit in the front?
Yes.
So we have a system.
Every day of the week. And, like, oh, no, it's my turn. No, it's my turn.
Yes.
Always fighting. So annoying.
So
brain fart.
So annoying.
I get a brain fart every single time.
Okay, well, you don't want to say that out loud. The brain fart. We're talking about that.
But he's got it.
He's got it.
Whatever it is, he's got it.
He gets
okay, so we moved back to Missoula.
Yes.
All right, how long were you there for?
Until I was in, I was in second grade. I was in second grade when we moved to Seattle. Okay. So we moved to Bellevue.
To Bellevue.
Uh-huh.
And graduated of Sammamish High School.
Sammamish High School, yep. In 1972.
1972. And the claim to fame was you were the...
Oh, you know.
No.
What is it called?
Homecoming
Queen.
Queen, yes. Homecoming Queen, yes. Yes, they know. Because Grandma makes sure everybody knows.
Homecoming Queen?
Homecoming Queen, yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's the only time it was really very important was at that moment. Nothing much since.
Well, we still have the newspaper article on The Crown. That's around somewhere.
That's true.
Isn't it?
I do. Yeah, I have. The Crown is broken, but I still have it.
Broken, but never forgotten. Yes.
Never forgotten. No, never forget. No,
sorry. Yeah. The Crown had cheetah print on it or no?
No, I wish they had thought of that. That's a really good idea. No cheetah print. No animal print on The Crown.
Oh. Nice. And then, so graduated from Sammamish and then did you go to college?
University of Washington.
All right. Yep. And what was that experience like for you?
Well, it took me 5 years to get through, and primarily because when I started, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So my dad said, well, I think you should just go to school anyway, get the college experience, and take classes, and pretty soon, sooner or later, something's going to be interesting, hopefully, for you. And that's what happened. So I took a few classes in early childhood education, thought that was really interesting, and decided to go into teaching. But at that point, University of Washington, in order to get a teaching degree, you had to major in something other than education. So my other area of interest was art. So I took a lot of art classes, and that was my major, and then education was my minor. And got a job right away with North Shore School District, where I taught school for 15 years. And when I quit doing that, well, you go ahead and see. Where do you want me to pick a pause?
Well, I was going to say, there's a lot in there. So yeah. College at the UW.
Yeah.
Were you in a dorm or sorority?
Sorority.
Okay.
Delta Gamma.
What about the Ted Bundy
years.
Story?
What's that?
What about the Ted Bundy story?
Was he there when you were there?
He was there. He was on campus. I remember very clearly that was a pretty scary thing at the time. And for the sororities, they had to really be careful because everybody had keys and you give keys to somebody else to let them in late, you know, if they were late, arriving or leaving. And it was a pretty scary thing to be on that campus at that time. And anyway... You've heard the rest of my story, but I'm not going to get into it now.
I've never heard it.
Well, I'll tell you another time.
Don't leave us as a cliffhanger, but he was living near where your sorority was.
Yes.
Wasn't it?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on the campus.
No, Tucker.
Yeah. He was on campus, and the whole summer, I think the summer, I don't know if it was before or after, probably my sophomore year at the U, there were a couple occasions people go to Lake Sammamish State Park, and you'd hear on the news, sooner or later, a young woman was missing. And a lot of his victims were from that area. Yeah, so it was a pretty interesting time to be around, be alive.
Well, that probably wasn't the exciting part of college. What was some of your more memorable moments?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. Oh, I know one. So I was dating someone, and we just did a few concerts here and there and dinners out. But one day he said, I bought tickets to a concert. Would you like to go? And I said, sure. Who is it? And he said, Elton John. And I said, I don't think I know who that is. And when I went to the concert, and it started, the music started, and the lights came up, and here's this guy with these giant green glasses, and he started playing the piano. I went, oh, I do know who this is. And it was the best concert I've ever been to in my life, except for the one I went to with Zach in Arizona to hear Pink Martini. Yeah. That was the second favorite.
What's
concert
crazy is that he just, Elton John just had his last tour. I really wanted to go, but I missed it.
Oh,
he just
is
his,
it was here. Unbelievable. It was in the town. Unbelievable. And that was how many years ago? That was
50
in the
years
70s,
ago.
Yeah. And it was just, I can't get out of my mind the visuals, let alone the music.
Okay, so when you guys imagine Grandma at a rock concert, what comes to mind?
Where's Frank? Where is he?
No.
Grandma did not have Frank.
Do they have wine here?
Who are these people? Why are they all over here?
It's so loud.
Where's the hand sanitizer?
It's so loud here. Oh my. Do they have earplugs? No earplugs?
I can't do this.
Take
me home, please.
Where's Frank? I want to take him on a walk. This is too loud.
That's right. Well, it's hard. Can you imagine?
I don't fit in here. What is going on? What is this
so
music?
Pretty much everything you said is true. Pretty much describes me my whole
Where's
life.
The mall? Where is the mall?
I'd rather go shopping.
Can you imagine Grandma your guys' age right now?
Oh, yes. No? Yes. This is one of the questions I say in every single podcast.
That's right. What's your question?
What was your favorite video game when you are 6 years old?
You're going to find this shocking, just shocking, Tucker. There were no video games. And Tucker?
And I'm dead.
Tucker, we only had one telephone in the house, and it was attached to a wall. And in order...
No, Roblox?
And in order to dial a phone number... First of all, you had to memorize your phone numbers.
Oh, yeah. You say their name, say their number.
Nope.
Say
no,
their name.
Not that old.
No.
Operator, Chattanooga 65111.
I was talking about the 50s. On the 50s, you say their name, their house number, and...
That was before the 50s.
That was before...
Yes.
Even before me. But there was a dial on the telephone, and you had to...
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen
in
those?
In our old house, we had one of those.
No, but it was years on the wall.
Yes, it was before you guys had cell phones, just in case the babysitter had to get a hold of us.
There's a phone book.
Yes. No,
okay. So we do know that Grandma had a childhood and was hip and cool.
I was.
Not that you say you're still not, but you went to an Elton John concert. I mean, that's pretty
well,
nice.
Well, I had a date. I mean.
Well, I mean, come on. Yeah. Well, homecoming queen, of course you had a date. Yes, that's how that works.
That was a few years later, but anyway, yeah.
All right. And then did you get married before you went into teaching, or did you get teaching and then how that look like?
I got married in 1978, started teaching in 1977.
77.
Yeah.
Okay. So you started teaching beforehand?
Yeah, just barely. Barely had a year under my belt.
Like what grades did you teach?
Third for 14 years, and the last year I taught second. And that was kind of did me in. Because if I was going to change grade levels, I should have gone up, not down.
Not down.
But I couldn't do math above fourth grade, so that was a problem. So I had
Well, it's a good thing you taught second and third grade.
That's what I said. Yes. I could do that.
Yeah.
So anyway, because pretty soon you run out of fingers and toes, and so it's a problem.
Well, okay. So, but, and I was only child.
Yes.
And so you worked, you know, you worked full time for a lot of those years.
I did.
So what was that like for you as a parent and trying to manage all that?
I was hard. I don't think I was a very happy working parent. I just wanted, it was hard because I felt like I couldn't do either job the way I wanted. You know, by trying to do my teaching and dedicate myself to all, because teaching is a very, such a demanding job. You know, your teachers give them a lot of credit because you could do 24/7 teaching and still not stay on top of it all. It's hard, you know, making lessons, being creative, correcting papers. It's hard, and that was just third grade. So, but it was very demanding. And then you were young, not even a year old, and I couldn't spend time with you the way that I wanted to. So I found it a very hard, not really a balancing, I guess a balancing act for me. Some people did very well. Some people did great. I hated dropping you off with the babysitter and peeling you off because you were crying and clinging and not wanting to go. And then I'd call the babysitter when I got to work, and she'd say, oh, he's fine. He was fine 32 seconds after you left. But I did it. I did it. And it was okay. Tried to find good situations for you. We lucked out because I knew people, you know, the parents of teachers whose children I had, those people usually came through for babysitting.
Yeah.
So one gal you were with for several years.
But then you had the opportunity, I think I was in seventh grade, you went from full-time to like part-time teaching, and then I was like in seventh grade, you had an opportunity to no longer be able to teach.
Yes, then I backed away, I did team teaching, and that was fun. I liked that a lot. But even that, after a while, I thought, you know, I just wanted to kind of be free of teaching, and then I could eventually. And so I got to devote myself to being a mom and driving you everywhere and sitting through every single trumpet lesson and swim meet and getting in before you could drive. And I enjoyed that. That was a great time.
Well, it's good. I think. And then you were out of the workforce for how many years?
Let's see. I think I quit teaching in 92. I resumed having to work when I was 67, so about 2011-ish, somewhere in that range.
2011-ish, so how many years is that? 92, 02.
To 2000.
So almost 30 years.
Stop. No, what am I saying?
Okay, so almost 30 years.
Did I say 2000? Yeah, must have been.
2011.
Yeah, see, me and math doesn't work very well. But yeah, anyway, a long time.
And then you were looking for something else to do and another way to earn some income, and you started doing what?
Well, I'd already kind of been doing it on my own. Just for friends, people would call and say, can you help me with this room set up, or can you help me pick out things for my living room, or just decorating interior.
Hey, Tucker, no one's asked a question, so hold on a second, please.
How did work get around that you start, like, that you did that, or like how, what originally started you just going around and helping friends out? Like, why did they ask you first?
It's a good question. Well, they would come to our house and they'd say, oh, I like what you did. Can you help me? And then it went from that to a friend of a friend who was a realtor. And this new age weird concept came out called staging. And so she, you know, she said, would you mind staging a house for me? And I had no idea what it was, but I said, sure. So I said, what is it you want me to do? And we started that way. And when I first started, if there were things that were needed to make the house look better, it usually started with rearranging furniture, getting rid of clutter, et cetera, et cetera. If there was something that they needed, I would say, I need to go buy these things. It's probably going to cost about this much, and you're going to own them when it's finished, because I don't have any need for them. And so it started that way. And then staging really seemed to catch on, at least among the people that I knew. And then...
And you weren't advertising. This was all...
No, I never advertised. Word of mouth. Ever. Yeah, I never advertised.
So you built something that was a passion, something you like to do, which is hard for a lot of people to look at something. And I'll back up and you guys, you know, in the house that I've grown up, we repainted or we wallpapered every room like 15 times over the 10 years I was there and decorated and everything. So people would always walk into a constantly changing environment that always looked good.
That was kind of my little, like a experimental laboratory was my own house because I could make mistakes and it didn't cost anybody but me anything.
Yeah.
I don't want to make mistakes when I'm working for somebody else.
Tucker, you got a question?
When you're teaching second grade, who was your best student in the class?
Well, I can't remember second. I can remember a few in third.
Okay.
But they might have turned out to be really, really nice people now, so I'm not going to say who they were.
Second question.
Yes.
What was your favorite movie back in the time?
Back in those days?
Yes.
Yeah. Dr. Zhivago.
Who's that?
We'll have to watch it. It's a long one.
It's a long one. Yeah, painstaking to watch. And Mary Poppins. Yeah, no, Julie Andrews. Oh, Sound of Music.
Sound of Music.
Sound of Music.
Oh, yes.
That was phenomenal.
There's a play at our school and they're doing Sound of Music.
Oh, it's just awesome. And yeah, the music.
Music career.
Incredible. Yeah.
So you started with nothing, with a few friends, and then onesie twosies, and all of a sudden you were staging a home several a week, right? And how many people? You had several people working for you, and going. It was a big operation, right?
Yeah, it just kind of exploded. Well, staging exploded in Puget Sound area. Realtors. In fact, I mostly worked with Windermere agents, and it was their policy to stage their listings. It was just done.
So you kind of got into it like right at the right time. Like you started on your own, and then as you started, staging started as well. So as you grew, or staging grew, you grew as well.
Yes, okay. And since I had no formal training in staging, I just did it. I knew I had to set myself apart from other staging companies and businesses. So I've mentioned this to I think maybe Sadie. I said, the only thing I could think of to set myself apart was price.
Yeah.
You know, if I can offer approximately the same service and do a good enough job and cost considerably less, you know, they were more willing to give me a try. And in the beginning, I made almost nothing.
Yeah.
But it was okay because I knew that was where you had to start. And I, for all this, my staging supplies in the beginning, it was just my own stuff because I didn't have any money to buy anything. Yeah. And then it went to...
I feel like I kind of remember that.
Probably. Then secondhand stuff. Yeah. And then when I could really afford to treat, you know, just to do what I wanted to do, I could go to the local TJ Maxx or Home Goods, whatever. But that's... And so inventory was built up pretty slowly. I'd make a little money. And I didn't ever want to get into debt because I wasn't sure if this was going to fly. So I didn't want to take out a loan. I didn't know if I'd pay it back. So I thought, well, I'm going to have to pay as I go. So if I'd earn a little money, I would take a little bit of that and buy what I needed for the next couple of jobs. In the beginning, I may have had one staging job a month, maybe. Yeah. And then when I sold the business, I was doing 3 to 4 staging jobs a week.
A week.
And having to work 7 days a week.
You had 4 or 5 storage units with stuff cataloged like a whole room full of pillows.
No, it wasn't a storage unit. It was another house. It was like, we laid down carpet. It was organized. It was like.
You remember the original storage units that I had. Yeah. You know why I couldn't do those anymore?
Why?
Well, I had 2 big ones side by side.
That's what I remember.
Roll up, you could, and you pull up your car, which was convenient. But it's so cold here, and there was no lighting in there, that I had to keep the doors open, and it'd be December and dark, and there'd be rain coming in sideways, and I'd be there 4 or 5 hours at a time, and I finally said, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. So that's when Tim had a detached garage at his house, so I said, let's just convert that to interior space.
I don't know how he agreed to that.
And her whole garage was filled with just... Like
it was like TJ Maxx.
Yeah, it was like a big stage thing. And then in her house, she had a room full of pillows. It was like There's like shelves everywhere and pillows. It was so stuffed.
Pillows and throws.
And we always had to organize the pillows. And
you
throws.
Did. Mm-hmm. It was quite a. It was a learning process. It was when I think back on it, it's really interesting when you go through a process like that. When you own a business, everything good that happens to you, but everything bad that happens to you, and there's nobody to blame, and you can't make excuses, especially. You know, in a situation like that, there's a lot of responsibility on the realtor and a lot of pressure on the homeowner. So even if you don't feel good, you go to work and you get the job done because there's no substitute once you've accepted the job.
And there's a lot of money online. It's a person's house.
Oh, it's sometimes it's all they, it's where all of their equity or all of their long-term, they sell their house and then they can afford to live the rest of their life, maybe. And an assisted living or something else. So it's not anything I knew it was a lot of responsibility, and I didn't ever want to make a mistake that would cost a realtor a commission or a homeowner not to have a successful sale. And I think I added up, I did almost 1,000 houses, and there's only one that didn't sell.
One that didn't sell?
One that didn't sell.
1,000 houses and only one that didn't sell. Yeah,
and they sold fast. It's shocking to me. It was just shocking to me. Of course, again, the timing was really good in this area, but it's been the same in Tucson. I've been doing some staging in Tucson. I just did one that sat on the house for 200 days, a house. And realtors in Tucson
are different than realtors here.
They're different than here. Staging is not a given. But this realtor called me, gave me a chance, staged the house, and it sold. And it's the second time, same thing. Stage the house, they sell within 48 hours to a week. So it's not magic. It's just kind of common sense.
Skill. But you're making somebody's dreams. You know, when somebody walks into, few people have the skill to walk into an empty house and visualize what it would look like to be able to live in.
Yeah.
And so you're providing that opportunity.
I guess, yes. Yeah. And it's just something that just comes naturally. And there's a lot of things I can't do, like math. But this is one thing I can do, and I don't know why. I don't know why. It's just what I was able to do. And what is so rewarding about it is, for example, this last couple whose home I did in Tucson, they were so distraught. 200 days on the market. They were sniping at each other. They were stressed out. They didn't know what to do. And they were, they were just unhappy and nervous. And when I saw them after the house sold, they were like, they were different people. They were so relieved. Mm-hmm. And that is as important to me as whatever money I make. Mm-hmm. That's a good feeling.
So we've talked to a lot of different people in different businesses, a lot of small businesses, about they enjoy doing a thing or take pride or joy in, like Kylie was painting something, or Paulie was selling one garment, or Chris helping one client. So you had fun doing your own house. So also now you're doing redecorating four to five houses a week, 7 days a week. Like, did that start to take the fun out of a little bit, or did you enjoy it each time?
Sometimes I was exhausted, but I will say once I was there and I have all my stuff unpacked and the furniture guys had come and delivered the furniture and they were gone and it was just me and my assistants doing our thing, I always liked it. I still always liked it. I wish I had more physical energy sometimes at the end of the day because I was just tired. It's a lot of physical work. But I always liked it. I still do. There's just something that I get out of that process.
So what were the business hiccups along the way for you?
Okay. Let's see. Sometimes realtors who didn't know me very well, I had to prove myself to them. It's a big, like I said, it's a big responsibility, and they're handing over to someone that they barely know. So you have to prove yourself. And sometimes they were particular. And they call me back and say, can you go put little fuzzy things under the chair legs? Or can you go put a plant here or something? And I thought, my first reaction was always, no, I'm not doing that. And then I thought, I learned to not say anything. Just say, okay. And then I would just talk myself into the point that, I'm still in the proving myself process. If I
Hold on, he wants to ask the question first. He's waiting for a second.
Can I just finish that thought? If you, in a situation like that, I thought, if you take the time to prove yourself that you can be counted on, that you will finish the job to their satisfaction and do your very best, they're more likely to call you again. Mm-hmm. And it worked.
Yeah. Tucker?
Then, so when you had no TV, no phones, no.
We always had TV. We just only had three stations.
So your stations were TV.
No, they had Channel 4, Channel 5, Channel 7.
Yeah.
You have YouTube and
all the things
now. Yeah. All the things.
And we didn't have very good reception, so we had something called rabbit ears, which came out of the top of the TV. They're antennas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we'd always be twisting those. Some people put tinfoil on them because they thought it made the reception better. I mean, they'd get broken because my brothers would throw a football in the room and knock them off. And anyway, that was our TV.
One thing you might love when you're a kid, riding your bike, riding your scooter, be outside, go to the park.
I did all that. Yes, you're right. I love that. I'd pack up a lunch because it was so different in those days. My mom didn't know where we were. We took off on our bikes, and all she said was, be back by dinner.
Yeah.
And we were.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
It's almost there.
Yeah.
No?
Kind of going back a couple thoughts ago, but what was your original business name? Because I know it, but I just think it's
Fluff and Futz.
Yeah. what was the thought process behind that one?
Not much. Not much thought process. And I had one of the first realtors, Kay Zatine. She's a dear person. I've known her now for many years. She was the first realtor that really hired me, and she was a Windermere, and she had a lot of she was very successful.
Yeah,
I don't know why she decided to hire me. I have no idea.
Yeah, Fluff and Futz.
But she's the one.
What's this invoice here? Fluff and Futz.
She was so funny, and she said, "Okay, Mary, now what's your business name again?" And I said, "Fluff and Futz," and she said, "What?" And she said, "You got to fix that. You got to change that." So I did.
So
it was one of the best things anybody ever did to me, was brutally honest, that's got to go. And to this day, she's retired. She turned 80. She lives in Florida.
Yeah.
And so I met her probably, I don't know, all those many years ago, 20 some years ago. And she called a few days ago just to say, "How you doing?"
Yeah.
You know, so people, they can be so wonderful when you form relationships, working relationships can last you forever, and they go into different directions because we became friends. But
my other question is, do you think that, because you said that it comes naturally, like just staging houses or whatever, and like whatever, and color schemes and organizing and whatever, do you think that your major in art was helpful?
Oh, tremendously.
That? Yeah.
Tremendously, yeah. It was interesting because I went through art school, and my fellow students were so talented. They could paint, they could draw, they could sculpt, they could make jewelry, they could do pottery. I couldn't do any of it. I was terrible at all of it.
Yeah, but you organize the paints and the brushes to look good in the bag.
Yeah, organize. Yes. That was my strength. Stop. Finally got into textiles and fabrics, and then it kind of made sense to me.
Yeah.
But I didn't get to really use it until many, many years later.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, maybe you have, but I think for them, same time, you started with just you, and scaled it to a business that did 1,000 homes. You had multiple assistants. You had a bookkeeper, and you did all the marketing yourself and built it all by referral.
Yes.
I mean, so it's a pretty, you think about it that way, over how many, 5-6 years?
It took, I was in business for 10 years. It took me probably 3 to 4 to really get going.
Yeah.
But I learned a couple of things, pretty basic.
Mm-hmm.
Never say no to a job.
Yeah.
Never say I can't.
Yeah.
And if they want you to fix something, fix it. Mm-hmm. And there might be some times where you don't make any money. Or you don't. And there was one instance. There was one instance. The house sold, obviously. But the realtor, I didn't know her very well. And she was not very happy. And I said, "Okay, no problem. I'll take care of this. And you don't owe me anything." And she said, "Well, I should pay you." And I said, "No, not if you're not satisfied." And that's okay, too. Because I learned some things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful who you work for sometimes, but also you're not going to make everybody happy, but you can still go back and make it right. Try.
Yeah.
Try. But sometimes you don't. Sometimes you don't make anything. But in general, I mean, that happened once. So
do you think that helped build your reputation, like having that background of, or even if, or like word gets around, like, oh yeah, like Mary, she does, she's very like honorable and she's very loyal. Like if she doesn't do a good job, then she'll come back and whatever and take accountability and whatever. And
it's a really good point, Noah, because that's all you have.
Yeah,
is your reputation.
Tucker, and, please stop.
And you know, be honest, be upfront with people, listen. Even if you don't like what they're saying, you know, you don't have to react. Just think about it, because yeah. That's how you learn and grow.
Yeah.
And absolutely, because if you have nothing else, if you have a good reputation,
yeah.
I can live with that. Summer, yeah.
Well, there's a thousand other directions we could go, and I think there's three more things I want to hit on.
Sure.
In our time we have.
Okay.
One, I'll give you guys the opportunity to ask any questions. Well, I'm giving you, putting Grandma on the spot, any question you may want to ask.
Yikes.
In a second. But, you know, we've talked about it before without you here, just family and whatnot, how important that is. And we've always talked about how important family was to you. And, you know, you're one of three and grandparents and of a large Italian.
One of four.
Three other siblings.
Yes.
You consider a large Italian Catholic family and used to get together. I mean, those are some of my fondest memories of the kids getting together. I think it's one of the reasons why I wanted to have a big family. And so you guys can think that. And Dad had four siblings as well. And we were all close and got together on a monthly basis with everybody.
Right.
Like it was just one big family.
Yeah.
And so I know it'd be hard to summarize, but when you think about family, what does it mean to you? Or what are some key points about family and closeness and all those things?
Oh my goodness. Well, you don't get to pick your family. You're born into a family. And if you're really lucky, you're born into a family that has parents that love you and want what's best for you. And they make that clear to you. You know, I knew my parents were crazy about us. Each one of us equally different, because we were all different, but they loved us the same. And so I think, and because of that, now that my parents are gone, I know if something really awful were to happen, I have family and that I can count on. And I hope they know that they can count on me to be there for them. I can't imagine not having strong roots, because they're interesting. You know, get your food, your traditions. I don't know. There's just it's not very. I'm not being very. Maybe not articulate.
I think you just learned a lot too. I think about the stories of Grandpa, so your dad, raising four kids in Missoula, and several things. One, if you got, you know, he played the accordion. I remember you talking about him practicing in the bathroom to play guitar and to go out Friday, Saturday night and play gigs for fun, but also to raise money.
Yeah.
And then selling life insurance door to door. Right. I mean, and I know he communicated to you guys so many things about just life in general, and Grandma too.
Yeah.
In her way.
Yeah. They were family first. It was family first. Always with them. It was never any doubt in us kids that, you know, we came first. You know, each other, but we were so important to them, and they were proud of us, and they expressed it. They supported us. They told us when we messed up, but they didn't condemn us for it. They just said, "Yeah, that was a mistake. You know, you don't do that again." And then, you know, what did you learn from it? Can we, you know, whatever we needed, and it wasn't material needs. It was emotional needs, yeah. And that makes for solid people, I think.
Well, and we think about grandparents. So I got to go to see Grandma and Grandpa living in Bellevue, and they know where you lived in Shoreline and Mill Creek and now Tucson. But we had the opportunity to go back to Italy, where your grandparents are from, this summer, and see where the Durays were from. So what you'd always heard these stories and where they were from. So what was that experience like for you to go back?
That was really quite something. We have the words. I remember standing in that field. We found our way to Cantalupo, which was the it was the little village, I guess, in this region of Italy. And I was really close with both of my Italian grandparents because we spent more time with them. But I was also close all, as well as the other ones. But I do remember Grandma Caroline, the Italian one. One time I said, Grandma, did you really stomp on grapes with your feet to make wine? And she said, oh, yeah. And I said, well, did you carry the grapes around on those things on your head, the baskets? She said, yeah, we actually did. And so I'm standing there in this field, just, you know, weeds and tall grass, and this, there was a little a building that was white, painted white. It was old, short little stubby building, and it had the name Duray, you know, painted on it, kind of crude, but painted. And that was the well where they got their water. And this was the property where my grandfather was born and raised. And I'm just looking around going, finally, after all that we heard about making wine and their friends and Aldo Duray and Guy Duray and Jean Duray and Joe Duray and, you know, all these people and the history, and they came over to this country different times, different ages. And my grandmother left her home in the old country, that's what they called it, the old country, when she was 18 and never went back. And to imagine people that age, you know, and this is where they came from. They left, you know, your age, basically, Noah, and never went back, never lived there again. But that's where they got their start. And it just felt really interesting to be standing there knowing this is where they started. This is where they came from. And it was profound for me. I always thought someday in my life, I'm going to go to Italy, and I don't like to fly much. I don't like to travel a whole lot, but it was so worth it. It was just really.
Like, can you guys imagine being just a couple years older than you are, going to a foreign country, you don't speak the language, no money, and just trying to figure out how to make a living? Now, today's world, there's technology, all kinds of things, but imagine there's none of that, and then coming over and just making a living for yourself.
They couldn't even call home. There were no telephones. They had to write letters. Somehow, miraculously, the letters got back and forth. But, you know.
Okay, I'm glad we had that experience. That was pretty fun.
It was great. Yeah.
All right. Well, as we're getting close here, okay. we're one chance. Any questions for Grandma? Things you've always wanted to know. Tucker, you can go first.
Okay. What? Try to think.
Do you need a minute to think, Tucker? Okay, we'll come back to you. See?
Okay, I know. Okay, go ahead. Have you ever, like, got, like, a finger cut from a knife when you were a kid?
I'm sure I did. But in our...
He cut his whole finger off.
He did a hard...
Well, luckily, it's still on.
Still there.
When I was cutting tomatoes, I cut parm. I got, like, a scratch, and it was bleeding.
I think I remember that.
Yes.
It was in Chelan.
Okay, Sadie?
When, because every time we, like, drive together, you always talk about when you're younger and you used to babysit. Mm-hmm. Do you think that helped you, like, when you got into, like, staging and stuff? Because you would always say these stories about how, like, one time, like a fire or something happened.
Which I started.
Yeah, and you had to be, like, honest and stuff, and you had to, like, tell the parents and, like, be honest. Like, do you think that helped you with, like...
I think it must have. I think, you know, it's hard to find fault with an honest person if they're going to own up to their mistakes and try their best to make things better. You really can't go too wrong with that. Just be honest and accept responsibility. Yes.
But how were you getting money and babysitting other people's kids when they're 10 years old?
Well, because they did. I don't know why they hired me, but they did. 50 cents an hour and a dollar after midnight.
Yeah, pretty crazy. That's what they pay. Zach, Dane, you have anything? Noah?
No.
Grandma answers all the questions, right?
Yeah.
That's okay. We have plenty of time for discussions.
What's probably your most unfavorite, unhappy memory just out of your entire life so far?
Oh, way to end it on that.
Yeah.
Well, like funny, not like sad, not like.
Well, that's two different things.
Happy is supposed to be happy.
Yeah.
Well, no. Like unhappy, but it was like in the end, it was funny. Like.
Oof.
I don't know.
On the tip of my tongue, I can't think of one that ended well. If it was unhappy, it was usually unhappy.
Oh, wild.
Let's see here. But there was something that ended well. I don't know. I had plenty of unhappy times, but that's part of life.
Yeah.
You know, that's gonna happen to everybody.
What about your funniest memory? Like, yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I can even think of my funniest memory off the top of my head.
Probably involves Frank with the ponytail sticking up.
Yeah, he's sticking up. Well, Frank is the third or fourth Shih Tzu in a row here. Third.
I think he's the fourth.
Fourth Shih Tzu in a row.
Yeah, Frank.
Yeah, we gotta switch it up.
Fourth in.
I don't think there's any switching.
Well,
switching.
We had Max,
right? Not Mac.
Or Mac.
Mac. That was. Oh, that was.
Oh yeah, that was Tim's.
That was Tim's dog.
Tim's dog. Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah, that. I got the other one with Mac. Is Mac died and then you got.
We got Frank before Mac died.
I know, but what after the other dog that Frank did not like?
That was, that was the black one. Lucy.
Lucy, yeah.
No, Elsie.
Oh, yeah.
It was Elsie, yeah. But Frank did not allow us to keep Elsie.
Well, we are glad you're here. I know it's freezing here in Seattle, as you used to Arizona. Yeah. So there is about a 6-degree temperature change in the house right now. We're all sweating to death, and you're just fine.
It's 79 in there.
Yes, exactly. We're used to 70, all sweating to death. But we're glad it worked out. I think if I would just say summarize, the story you've always told is that you were trying to find a dress for something. And you had two in mind, and Grandpa, and you couldn't pick. Oops, and no. Grandpa just said, well, let's just get both.
Let's just get
both. And I think you have carried that on in your heart for all of us and me. You're like, you know what, let's just always do both.
Oh, that's
because that's
oh.
Because that's just the way that you care for all of us. So thank you for that. We're glad you're here.
Welcome.
Glad for you guys to join us, and tune in next time. But in the meantime, give us a like, share, follow. TikTok, tweet, Facebook, whatever they are that they're doing, and we'll go from there.
I don't understand any of that. Yeah.
Thanks, everybody.
Hit that little button.
Hit the little bell. Hit the little bell.